You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome in to a new week here at the Locked On Pacers podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News and at 8.9 seconds. Small plug for me before I talk about stuff today. We had a really cool story about the chemistry of last year's team at 8.9 seconds. Ben Gibson, the other site expert over there, and I did some cool research and found out some pretty interesting stuff going on in the locker room. And it wasn't all about the guy you'd think, Paul George. It was much deeper than that. A lot of rough parts fitting in last season. That was very interesting to find out, and we reported it. It was really cool. Would highly recommend reading it. You'll learn something and gain a new appreciation for the chemistry of this year's team, which was the biggest part to me, is that chemistry is harder to find than you think. So the fact that they've been able to find it this year has been incredibly fascinating. But today, what I really want to talk about is the Wizards game from Saturday, the 109-102 loss, which is a deceivingly close score, and preview the Lakers game tonight. So I want to preface this Wizards talk by saying something. So I was at a wedding Saturday night, my cousin. Congratulations to Savannah and Evan. You know, usually sometimes when you do these game recaps, I like that I get to be on Twitter during the game because, you know, when I talk about it afterwards, I can address both my own thoughts and the common thought of the person watching the game, you know, who isn't me. And some, you know, I miss things and I disagree with people's thoughts sometimes and stuff like that. And it's a lot easier to talk about the game when you're addressing two people, not just your own thoughts. So this game, I didn't catch live, and I was not on Twitter at all during it. So this is mostly my own thoughts after watching this game on what I thought happened. So it might be, you know, kind of different than normal, where I have, you know, a preconceived set of things that I would like to talk about going in. Less so that, and more so that I'm talking about my own thoughts. So that'll be interesting to see if this is harder for me to talk, because sometimes these solo episodes are challenging. But anyways, the Pacers lost 109-102, and as I already said, deceptive score with about 6.5 minutes to go. They were down almost 20 points. Joe Young came in for Collison. Poitras came in for Jefferson. And that was it. They went to the end of the bench. I think TJ Leaf got in at the end, too. I couldn't remember if it was Leaf or not, but Leaf, Young, and Poitras got a nice run of 6 minutes down the stretch, and that was why the score was deceptive, because they just blew him out of the water, because the Wizards had their end-of-the-bench guys in, too. You know, they had big minutes from a guy named Ramon Sessions, who's been out of the league for most of the season, so, you know, that time they took over. But the rest of the game, the Pacers were overwhelmed, and most of that can be looked at the center position. Al Jefferson, as much as we love when Al plays, you know, I personally rag on Jefferson a lot. His defense stinks because he's so slow. But what happens is a lot of the times he's such a good change of pace. And like against the Raptors, he was so good because Jakob Poeltl is a talented player, but he's young and he's not used to playing against guys with Jefferson skill sets, because that kind of skill set is dying. But the Wizards have their center rotation between Gortat and Mahinmi. And actually in this game, they had a few more sets with Markieff Morris at center even. You know, they're better at defending those olden timed centers. So that was part of why Jefferson struggled a little bit in this one. And two, Jefferson usually plays with the second unit, where it makes more sense to run an offense through him, where in this one, the offense was running through other guys in the starting lineup, and Jefferson was kind of a later in the pecking order option. So he was not as effective in this one, and he really relies on, can he shoot over 50% and get his rebounds? And the rebounds were there. He ended up with 9 of them, including 3 offensive rebounds, which was huge. But they actually did okay, and you know, the team in general did okay on the glass. They were about even, but there was just a kind of a moshy, yucky kind of game, and Jefferson wasn't able to really get into it because of that. 4 of 11, and that's why he was struggling, because on defense, you know, Gortat screens, he could not keep up with anything going on with those. And Gortat, probably the best screener in the NBA. For everything he's not, he's an excellent screener. He was a plus 22, so Gortat was really, that was the highest in the whole game. He was easily the difference maker. Jefferson could not keep up with any pick and roll situations that they were putting him through. And a lot of those were with Beal. And if you were with Satoransky, and those two guys combined for 11 of 19 shooting, and that, you know, that's a really big difference maker. And that really makes it challenging, too, for, you know, if Oladipo and Joseph are backpedaling a lot on defense, they're tired for offense, and they combined for 8 of 20. So, you know, Jefferson's impact was more than just he missed some shots and his defense is bad. That's why he's ineffective. You know, he makes guards more tired, and it just changes the whole dynamic of the game when that kind of stuff happens. And I think that is really where I'm going to put the linchpin of the loss is on that, because or the onus of the loss. I get both words work, but that's where I'm going to put most of it, because it's just a whole different game when you're playing with your third string center as a starter, and you know your backup center is now Trevor Booker, who you signed to be your backup four and play limited minutes. Trevor Booker actually ended up playing 18 minutes, which was his second highest on the team. His second highest as a member of the team so far. So just a lot of factors really going into that center position change it, especially when you're playing against veteran guys instead of the Raptors, where you know they're a lot younger. But I really did enjoy some things the Pacers did in this one, including the end of the bench guys looking like a solid group of players. Bogdanovich continues to be hot. I know he had a few rougher ones this week. Not rougher, but compared to how hot he has been, rougher recently. But he made all three of his threes and was a rotation high outside of Glenn Robinson, who I'll talk about momentarily, minus four. That's exciting to see him be shooting well again, you know, after two rougher games this week. And then Lance Stephenson is the guy that has to be talked about. 25 points, easily the season high. Well, not easily, but the season high for him, plus 16. He was really impactful. He played a little at the four even. Shout out to Will Furr for that idea that I was, you know, I was not nearly as high on it as Will. I thought it could work, but he did really well there. He was a plus 16. I think I just said that. If I did, sorry. He kept his turnovers down only at two, and he was nailing his threes, and he was getting to the rim, and he completely ran over Bradley Beal on a play that was called a defensive foul, which was funny, but it was a really highlight reel play, and he looked really awesome and effective, and this is that's the role that he needs to have for him to be the most effective. He's hitting his shots, and he's the high-energy guy that I always talk about, and I really enjoyed seeing him play the role to, you know, his highest level in this game. And he played a lot of minutes with Glenn Robinson, and that is why Glenn Robinson was a plus 8, even though Glenn Robinson kind of stunk. Glenn Robinson was 0-5 from the field, 0-2 from deep. His three-pointer has been lost this year, which is kind of concerning. I know he didn't shoot at all for some period of time, so, you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but not looking too hot for the little dog so far. That was not the best shooting game for him, but that is something that will continue to carry on. And then my thought of DC starting over Corey, I'm going to keep banging on that drum because Corey was a minus 24 in this one, and I blame that on Jefferson again because he was struggling with the backpedaling and he couldn't score as much when he's exhausted, but he just didn't have much of an impact anywhere. He was struggling with Satoransky's size more so than he does with a lot of other players. He doesn't really guard guys that tall very much. He wasn't guarding Sato every possession, but a few times you could see that happening. Collison was not great in this one, but he was canning his threes, and he played with Lance enough that he got his plus-minus up to minus 5, which was pretty solid for a lot of the Pacers today. But I would love for him to get back in the starting group, and I'm going to keep banging that drum until it happens because it's what I want. But I'm not sure what's going to happen. The big takeaway from this game, though, is that Jefferson as a starter is not going to work super well, so hopefully Turner can be back for this Lakers game that I'm about to talk about, because that will help so much. And he didn't play the last time against the Lakers, which, you know, that's something they haven't seen yet, so it's just another wrinkle. Doesn't sound like his injury is nearly as bad as I thought, which is great news. You know, I put that video up on Twitter of him shooting at practice. It looked great. So hopefully he can be back for this Lakers game, which will just change everything, you know. Booker did okay in his backup center minutes, especially when he was matched up with Markieff Morris. But Markieff Morris doesn't play center a ton for the Wizards. He was only able to because Trevor Booker was playing center. So just a lot of cross dynamics in a very injury-full game for the Pacers. And, you know, their assists were kind of lower at 24. It's not, like, super low, but kind of low for the Pacers. And Sabonis's lack of passing being out there is part of that, so we'll have to see what adjustments they continue to make with him out going forward, but Turner's return will help substantially on the defensive end, which also will help on the offensive end. So, you know, we'll have to see how it goes. I would have liked to see more Thad Young at center. That's something I want to see if Turner's going to continue to be out, but that's just my two cents. They're not going to win a game with their best two centers injured, so it is what it is. It stinks that they lose a tie-breaking, really important tiebreaker game with that being the scenario. But with 12 games to go, they have a chance to finish ahead of the Wizards anyway. So we'll see what happens. Their tough schedule coming up will continue to be a factor. And I say their tough schedule because now we should talk about the Lakers, who I think is actually going to be a kind of tough game. So the Lakers. You think of the Lakers as kind of bad and young. And I get that because that's kind of my notion of them too without them being good for a few years now. 31-38. First in pace. They fly it on the court. 23rd in offense, 11th in defense. Okay. That's the Lakers. 31-38, right? Well, since the All-Star break, they are 8-4. 31-38 is not a terrible record. And they have some guys playing well. Isaiah Thomas. They have an All-NBA player from last year on their team who is rounding into form of late. And that is why I think the Lakers are not going to be an easy win beyond the fact that they have some solid young guys who play well. They have Isaiah Thomas now. And Isaiah Thomas doesn't stink. You know, over his last couple of games, he's had... Here are his point totals since game 60 for the Lakers. You know what? I'll just do all his Lakers scores. Never mind that. No, I'll do all the Lakers scores. 22, 3, 7, 17, 17, 13, 29, 21, 19, 13, 10, 20, 23, 20, 5. So the 5 is bad, and the 3 and the 7 and the second and third game are bad. But there's a lot of really good scores in there, including that 29er in a win at Miami. They just keep finding ways to use him effectively. His shooting percentages in some of these games stink, and in some they're really good. And he's getting to the foul line a lot. He's shooting a ton of free throws, which I don't care if you think it's not a skill. It's totally a skill, and those are important shots. And he's really changing the dynamic for him, especially in those lineups where he can play alongside Lonzo Ball's really good defense. So I actually think this game's going to be tougher than people think, especially if Turner and Sabonis are out. Last time these two teams played back in, I want to say January, man, I can't remember the date, but I have the box score up, so I should just look on the side. January 19th, so last time they played, no Turner, Sabonis started, and he played fine. He shot 60% and got 14 rebounds, which is season high for him, but they just missed that defense. You know, the Lakers scored quite a few, 99 in this one, which Pacers were on a back-to-back. They only scored 86, that was where the problem was. But, you know, the defense will need to be a little better against this Lakers team because they're kind of defensive focused this year, as I said, only the 23rd offense, and they scored 99. But from that first game against the Lakers, differences, I was going to say, or hope at least, that with Turner and Sabonis it'll be different, but it might be neither. And if it's Turner playing, Jefferson's still going to play. He played 13 minutes the first time and was a -4. So he can't really, you know, he could kind of play if Julius Randle's in at center for the Lakers, but if it's Brook Lopez, Al Jefferson will just be useless. So if he has to start, really, it'll be a terrifying experience. And Corey Joseph played 28 minutes and was a -21. He was atrocious in that game. I don't think Lonzo Ball played. Yes, Tyler Ennis was the starter, but Jordan Clarkson came off the bench, and if you'll remember, exploded 33 points, 14 and 19 shooting, and he was just cooking Corey Joseph time and time again. And that was why he was so negative and why the Lakers ended up winning the game. Larry Nance was also +22, and Clarkson and Nance are both gone. So maybe those two guys who were killers of the Pacers the first time being gone will be something that makes you think they can do better. But the additional guys, you know, Isaiah Thomas is a quality player, and Channing Frye is a really good role player. So there's still reason to believe the Lakers could be good in this game. Anyway, I keep pounding that, I'm just not super confident that they can walk through this one at home with a win. I'll talk about Lonzo first, and he's probably my butcher, even though I'm not doing this one with Adam. I'm still going to do a butcher. Lonzo would have been my #1 pick last year in the draft. That shows what I know, because he hasn't been the best player, but he has been good, and I know people think he hasn't been good, but he definitely has been good. He started off horrible shooting. He's kind of gotten those numbers back up more recently with some good play, and he's just an astounding, astounding defender. 7 rebounds and assists per game is incredibly impressive. So he's doing some things very well for his age already, and I do worry that because he's so versatile, he can already do some things that Corey Joseph can. If he's hitting this shot, he's one of the best players on the court, and I think he can change the game more than anyone on the Lakers could if they had a good game. So he is my butcher, and I really think the focus is, you know, every time he has the ball, you have to be moving even if you are not guarding him, because he could just, as soon as you get beat by a half step by your man, he could just find them for an easy bucket. So he's my butcher, but IT having those good scoring games, he's another guy to watch. And I'll be interested to see the matchups, because I don't know who's going to guard who in this game. Does it make sense to put Vic on IT in those Lonzo IT lineups, or put Vic on Lonzo and Corey on him? I mean, these are the questions that Nate's going to have to answer that could determine the game. And then Brandon Ingram being guarded by Bojan, he could have a nice game. He's been a lot better than his rookie year this year too. So he's a guy to watch for. But overall, those, you know, they don't have a ton of killers, and Brook Lopez has taken a step back from last year this year. So if they can kind of keep those young guys from being their young athletic selves, they might have a chance to win, but I don't see that happening. I mean, the Lakers don't have their pick. They're not playing to tank. They're playing hard recently. I haven't even said Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's name. He's going to guard Vic and do a decent job of that. So They're a force to be reckoned with. I don't think it's going to be an easy game for the Pacers. But that said, if Turner does play, Brook Lopez kind of struggles to defend in space, and Julius Randle can't do it at all. So I think that that is a matchup they will look to exploit. And his shot looked good when I saw him on Friday. Turner's did at practice, so that's something that could be good. Bojan's going to be able to get free on Ingram if he wants to. Ingram's not the greatest off-ball defender. The only thing that I haven't said is Vic. And he might have, KCP's a good defender, but if they can get him free a few times or on a switch, I don't think anyone else can stop him. So I think there's a good chance that they have matchups to exploit, and they will still end up winning. But I don't think it will be an easy win, which, your preconceived notion might say in this one. I think the Pacers can walk away with a 15-point win if they play their absolute best, but I think it'll end up probably closer to 7 or 8-point win for them. And I know if Turner plays, I think that's almost a surefire win just because of how impactful his spacing will be. That was something in the Washington game I didn't really touch on, but it was kind of clogged. It was expected, so it wasn't like worth touching on, if that makes sense. But it is what it is. They're going to need that spacing against the Lakers, who have some solid defenders if they're 11th in defense for a reason. So we'll see what happens. The combination of Turner playing and the special level of defense from the Lakers means that this game could be tougher than you think. So just keep that in mind going into this one. It's not going to be a bad loss if they lose, especially if they don't have two of their best centers. But it'll be interesting to see. And I love watching Lonzo and IT, so I'm going to be having a lot of fun at this one. And I will probably be there with Ryan Eggers, also of 8.9 seconds. So if you want to see me at halftime or something, hit us up on Twitter. But thank you for listening to today's episode of the Locked On Pacers podcast. That is all I wanted to talk about today. Me and Adam will be back on for our weekly show tomorrow. It's kind of harder with these Monday games for us to do that. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So we'll do it tomorrow. We'll recap this one and then get going on the remainder of this week's games. Thanks for listening and have a great Monday.